This is Mike Johnson with the download edition of the World Business Report Wall Street Update for Tuesday, February the 25th. When you buy gold or products with gold in them, like mobile phones, you might not think that the money you've just spent will end up funding armed groups involved in atrocities like killing civilians or mass rape. But that is exactly what so-called conflict gold is all about. Now, a former partner at the international auditor Ernst & Young has told the BBC's Newsnight programme that he audited the biggest gold refiner in Dubai and found clear breaches of international rules designed to stop the trade in conflict gold. But rule changes by Dubai's regulator meant that key findings were covered up and never published. What's more, the former partner says Ernst & Young turned a blind eye, whereupon he decided to blow the whistle and resign. The BBC Andy Verity has been investigating.
You've heard of blood diamonds, you've seen them in Hollywood films. It's a well-known issue. What's less well-known is that the gold that goes into your jewellery, into your smartphone, and also ends up in banks' vaults could potentially have been sourced from conflict zones. Now, in recent years, there's been an attempt to crack down on that because millions of people died in the Congo on the back of a conflict that was largely funded by selling gold and smuggling it out of the country. The crackdown takes the shape of international guidelines, which are supposed to be implemented by regulators around the world, whereby they require anybody participating in their markets to do thorough checks on their gold supply, right up the supply chain if necessary to the mine where it came from. The amount of checks they do depends on how risky the source of their gold is. So if, for example, they deal with a company that's dealt with the Eastern Congo, then they should carry out very, very rigorous checks indeed. If, for example, they accept cash, then they should get the right documentation to know it hasn't come from just anywhere.
And a lot of the international trade in this conflict gold goes through Dubai, doesn't it? What have you discovered about that trade?
According to the UN and Global Witness, much of the gold that comes out of the Congo and goes through Uganda and Burundi goes through Dubai. Now, that's an image that Dubai doesn't want. And to try to counter that, it's brought in these tough standards, these international standards designed to stop the trade in conflict gold, requiring its gold traders and refiners to check their supply and also to be audited by a reputable firm. Now, Ernst & Young was that reputable firm in this case, and its audit team went into the biggest refiner in Dubai, Kolwezi, and found serious failings in its checks on the supply of conflict gold. Among other findings, they found it had paid $5.2 billion in cash for gold and accepted 4 tons of gold that had been painted silver. The son of the owner of Kolwezi, Osama Kolwezi, told them that it was normal when importing gold from Morocco to accept gold painted silver. Here's what the man who led the audit team, Amjad Rehan, said about what his team found when they visited Kolwezi.
During the course of the audit, the team discovered that this one refiner had unreported cash transactions of over $5.2 billion, and those are not small transactions. Sometimes it's a multi-million dollar per transaction. I mean, that is not justified with the presence of a proper banking system. Why do you need to make a multi-million dollar transaction and walk out with suitcases of cash? Doesn't that raise a question?
Now, after they made these findings, Amjad Rehan says he alerted the regulator, the Dubai Metals Regulator, the Dubai Multi-Commodity Centre, about what was going on. And he says they were far from keen to publicly shame Kolwezi, which occupies a floor in a building in Dubai, upstairs from the regulator. What the regulator then did was to change its guidelines. In May, its guidelines required that all the initial findings, the most serious one certainly, should be made public. By November, that requirement had disappeared.
So Amjad Rehan, the former partner at Ernst & Young, resigned. What happened next, Andy?
Well, he thought this was a sufficient concern that they should alert other regulators. Ernst & Young was also auditing under another set of guidelines set by the London Bullion Market Association, which is key because all the reputable buyers want LBMA accreditation for any gold seller that they're going to buy from. Now, although Ernst & Young says it wasn't strictly required to carry out an audit under those guidelines, Amjad Rehan says he was engaged to do that, and therefore he went to the senior management at Ernst & Young and asked them to notify other regulators and he also wanted the findings to be made public. If they couldn't do that, he said, they should walk away from the audit. Ernst & Young's managers took a good look at their legal position and concluded that they weren't obliged to do that, and in fact said that if they did do something like that, they would be breaching confidentiality. That angered Mr. Rehan, who felt that they weren't living up to the ethical standards set by Ernst & Young, whereby their staff are not supposed to hide from or ignore any issues and aren't supposed to be afraid of confronting clients with unwanted information.
OK, so plenty of questions, it would seem, for two particular groups to answer. One, the regulator in Dubai, and two, Ernst & Young. What do both parties have to say about all of this?
The regulator in Dubai accepts that it changed the rules but denies that it was in order to keep the damaging findings out of the public view. It says it was changing those rules because it had been recommended to do so by a consultancy that it had engaged. They also said that there was no impropriety on their part. Ernst & Young says it was not in a position to make the findings public in the way that their partner would have liked. And it also says that it's acted properly according to the rules.
And what about this company, Colotti, in Dubai?
Colotti simply say that any allegations that they broke the rules is false, and they also deny any impropriety.
So this issue of conflict gold, is it going to become increasingly important on the world stage?
It's already becoming more important. Just recently, Apple, which uses gold in its tablet computers and in its smartphones, like other manufacturers, has said that it wants its gold to be conflict-free by the end of 2014. Now, it's crucial to remember that in order to verify that the sources of its gold are conflict-free, it will be relying on precisely the regime that our whistleblower is criticising. So if this regime is going to work, our whistleblower would take the view that it has to be a lot tougher.
That was the BBC's Andy Verity. There's talk that politicians in Washington are about to call for a new tax on banks so they can pay for their own bailouts in future. Talk which didn't do much for the share prices of big financial groups on Wall Street, as I heard from Peter Jankowskis at Oakbrook Investments in Chicago.
There was a report from an anonymous source, but viewed to be reliable, that the Republican chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee next week is going to propose a tax on some of the very largest financial institutions, those that are viewed as too big to fail or systematically important. They have to have assets above $500 billion, and they'd be taxed on those assets at a rate between 1 and 2/10% over a full year. And that's a fairly significant move on the Republican side of things, moving toward a proposal that was originally put forth by President Obama several years ago. So there's possibility that it could gain support and become law.
So this would be a tax in order to help banks bail themselves out if such bailouts were needed in future, rather than getting taxpayers to bail them out.
Yes, I think that would definitely be the approach that's being taken here, and I think that certainly would gather a lot of support on Capitol Hill.
Yeah, but not on Wall Street, I guess. Well, what did that do for financial shares?
No, financial firms were not very happy about this. They were the worst performers in the S&P 500 today. But, you know, in the end, all these taxes eventually get passed on to consumers. So that's the interesting thing there. But certainly today, because they were singled out in this report, they were the worst performers on the day.
Peter Jankowskis, well, the Dow closed down almost a fifth of 1% at 16,179. London's main share index sat to finished 0.5% lower at 6,830. And that's all for this Wall Street Update.
You've been listening to World Business Report. If you want more insights into the world of business, you can download Business Daily from bbc.com/podcasts. If you want to contact us, you can email at world.business@bbc.co.uk or add your comments to our Facebook page at facebook.com/bbcbusiness. And remember, for news in an instant, you can follow us on twitter.com/bbcbusiness.